Most of the time, a hostage situation gets a lot of attention, right? Right? It makes news, right? Well, I think about Ashley Smith, who was taken hostage by the Atlanta courtroom killer in 2005. He held her hostage in her own apartment for about 7 hours. During that time, she talked to him about Jesus. She even read to him out of the purpose-driven life. And after 7 hours, that hostage situation ended well. She went to church, and he turned himself in. Her story made national headlines. They even made a movie out of it this year, I believe. It's called Captive. See, most hostage situations get national news. You read about it on the internet. You read about it in the newspaper. Everybody's talking about it, right? But most people are held hostage and they don't even know it, because they're being held hostage by the devil. And that's the hostage situation that I'm going to talk about this morning. Because we need to know when we're being held hostage by the enemy. Because we need to recognize when we're being held hostage. Because you don't recognize it when you don't have a gun to your head. And you don't recognize it when you're not being duct taped and somebody's not trying to kill you. But see, the enemy does that silently. And he does it with tricks. And so today, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what he does. Because see, here in 2 Timothy 25:26, it says, "Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants." See, some people are being held captive from the devil, and you don't even know it. So how do you know when people are being held captive of the devil? When they talk about the past, you're being held captive. You're being held hostage. When a person's living a lifestyle of sin and they can't break free of it, you're being held hostage. When someone used to talk about their hopes and dreams, but they don't have those anymore, you don't hear about them anymore, you're being held hostage. Why? Because see, what happens is the devil comes in and he takes those dreams and hopes away, because he blinds you. And see, the devil comes in and he makes you want to focus on the past. What was? Or what the bad things that happened to you. Because that was then. And if he can make you focus looking back, you can't focus looking forward. Come on. Are y'all asleep? Because I'm preaching better than my amens. And see, far too many people are being held hostage by the enemy. So when the devil's holding you hostage, there are three things that he tries to do. Number one, he's going to confuse you. It's one of the oldest tricks that he does, is he's going to bring you confusion. He'll try to trick you to believing that he's for you and that God is completely against you. That God did it. That all the bad things that are going on in your life, God did that to you. God did those things to you. He caused all that hurt and pain in your life. He took that person away from you. God took those things from you. Yeah, God did all that stuff. That's what the devil tells you. It's the oldest trick that the devil ever plays. Satan is the one who brings death and destruction, not God. And the whole time he will sit there and act like he's your best friend and point the finger to God. Because if he can make you think God did it, he's going to make you pull away from God. Because Satan knows that God's the one to your victory. And he's the one to your healing. So when the enemy tries to take you hostage, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to do what? He's going to confuse you. For instance, look at Job. The devil tried to confuse Job. The devil used Job's friends and family. He used the people around Job. Around Job. When the people closest to you are pulling you away from God, you guessed it. You have a hostage situation on your hands. Whenever the devil wants to draw you away from God, he's going to send the wrong people into your life because you are what you are around. And you can tell me all day long that you're going to go in and you're going to witness to these people and you're going to bring them to God. I'm going to call you on it. That's bull. It's not going to happen because these people that God's brought into your life, they're going to pull you right down with them. I have never in my life seen somebody go in and they pull that whole group up with them. I've seen quite the opposite. What happens is they go in and they go right with them. And they get out of church and they become what they are around. So if the wrong people are surrounding you, you got a hostage situation going on. And you need to reevaluate your situation. That's what the enemy did to Job. They kept telling him, just curse God and die. They kept telling Job, God's doing this to you. How could God be good if all these bad things are happening to you? When the whole time the devil was wreaking havoc in Job's life. Because Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not except to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have what? Life. And that you may have it more abundantly. What did he say that you may have? Life. So here's the test. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. If it steals, kills, and destroys, it's the devil. You can't blame God for the bad things going on in your life. That's Satan. So do the test. If it's good, it's God. That's what I tell my kids all the time. If it's good, it's God. GG, good God. If it's bad, it's the devil. So look at your neighbor and say this. Don't fall for it. I'm going to wake y'all up one way or the other. The devil will act like he's your best friend and he's the answer to all your problems. He'll tell you, I'm here to help you. I'm here to make you feel better. You need to go on out and do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever you need to do. Go drink. Go on out and smoke a little bit of that weed. Go on out and do whatever you need to do. Go hang around whoever you want to. Go sleep with whoever you want to. Go do whatever it is that makes you feel good. Why? Because you need to fill that void of the past. That past wound. Those wounds. The wounds from the past that you are being held hostage to. Because see, that's what happens, is we want to go feel what has happened to us from other things instead of letting God heal us. We go and we try to mask it. And so we feel it with things of the world because Satan tries to confuse us and think that if we drink it away, it'll go away. If we go out and have all these relationships with people that it's going to go away. But what does it do to us? It makes us feel more empty. It makes us feel more guilty. It makes us not be able to look at ourselves in the mirror when we look at ourselves because odds are you go and you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, who is that person? What did I just do? And what happens is the guilt adds up. The confusion adds up. And then you become more confused, and it's this big circle that goes around and around and around. And you've done nothing but play into the enemy's ploy and his trick. And it's the same one. Because see, what's happened is you've got these wounds, and you're trying to cover it up. See, the devil wants you to think that you can put a Band-Aid on a deep wound. But you can't put a Band-Aid on a deep wound. You need to be healed from the inside out. Healing doesn't start from the outside in. It needs to start from deep within and go up. And the only thing that can heal you is God. Because when you've got deep wounds from the past, the only thing that's going to heal those deep wounds from the past is God. And you've got to let Him heal you. And I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you this. If you're living and breathing, you got wounds. You got wounds. If you are living and breathing, you have got things that have happened to you that have made you who you are, that have made you the person that you are, and either you've dealt with it or either you've hidden behind it. So everybody sitting in this room has wounds, and either you've dealt with it or you've put a Band-Aid on it. So that's up to you to determine. So today, you need to determine, are you putting a Band-Aid on the wounds from the past? Or have you allowed God to heal you from the inside out? And we need to let God heal us from the inside out, because we got to stop masking what's been going on in our life. Because when we mask that, we make bad decisions. So, what does the devil do? Number one, he tries to confuse you. Because see here in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God's not the author of confusion. What is He? He's of peace. He's the peacemaker. So tell somebody, God's not the author of confusion. Come on, I'm going to wake y'all up. He's not. He didn't come to bring you confusion. He came to bring you peace. God doesn't want you to have these wounds in your life and this past that you keep looking behind you. Do you think God wants you walking like this? No, He wants you moving forward. But if you're so busy looking back at what happened to you and dwelling on what's going on in your past, you cannot move forward. You have spent most of your life making decisions based on what happened to you back then that they're affecting what's going on in your future. But see, if you would deal with what happened to you back here, you would make wiser decisions in your future that wouldn't make you have to regret things. It wouldn't. And see, if you would get healed, you would have the sound mind to where you wouldn't be confused, and you would make the decisions that were right. So when you're in a hostage situation, the first thing He's going to do, He's going to confuse you. The second thing He's going to do, He's going to try to control you. Ooh, I buck at control. And that's what some of y'all need to do. Because I don't like to be controlled. I'm quite the opposite. And see, what you need to know is that God has plans for your life, but so does the devil. The enemy wants nothing more but to control your life. And he wants you to get to the place to where you only listen to him. And see, the more you listen to him, the less you listen to God, because you don't even begin, you can't even hear. Because you only recognize the one voice. Because you got so much of the other stuff in your life that you can't hear the voice you need to hear. The devil will do anything to get you to play his game. Instead of following the destiny that God has for your own life, God said, you'll find peace in my presence. The devil says, drink all your problems away. God says, be faithful to your wife and I'll bless your marriage. The devil says, you need to be with somebody that makes you feel good. It doesn't matter about your marriage vows. God says, forgive them and I'll heal your heart. The devil says, hold on to that bitterness. They did you wrong. See, he wants control. He wants to determine the direction of your life. He wants you to live his way instead of God's way. But see, here's the thing. You're allowing somebody to influence your life, and it's either God or it's the devil. You're allowing it. The devil wants nothing more than to take the lead and to determine the direction of your life. See, the devil isn't strong enough to just take control of your life. You have to allow him to do that. And you give him that control by the decisions that you make. And those decisions are made by your desires. And he knows your weaknesses, and he knows your desires. And you think he's not going to play on them? Absolutely, he's going to come after you at that stuff. He knows your wounds, and he's going to play off of them. In James 1, 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When you give in to worldly desires, you are actually under the control of the devil. In 1 John 5, 19, we know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. If the devil can get you to love the world, he's got a foothold into your life. And it just starts with one open crack in the window. And you think, oh, I'm just strong enough, I can withhold. Nah. In 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why it's so important to recognize wrong desires. Is because everybody has wounds from the past. Everybody has them. And when you have wounds from the past, the enemy is out after you. And he wants to do nothing but bring blindness to your eyes. And he wants to blind you to the point to where, one, all you do is focus on it. Two, is to where he draws you away from God. Because when you become healed from your past, you become a threat. And when you become a threat, you cannot be shut up. And I know you sit here and you go, you're just wild and crazy and you're passionate and you don't know how to shut up. You want to know why? It's because I have been set free. And when you have been set free, there is freedom. And God, there is nothing in the world that the devil can do to shut you up. Because there was a time in my life whenever I was a wounded woman that walked around here that had insecurities. And you know what I did? I got a hold of the Word of God, and I allowed God to heal me instead of putting a Band-Aid on what had happened to me a long time ago. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to drink my problems away. I'm not going to sleep them away. Instead, I'm going to let the healer heal me, and I am going to be set free. Because I'm not going to walk around here making the mistakes that other people have made. I'm going to learn from what other people have done, and I'm not going to walk around here and be a wounded woman. I'm a woman, I can say that. And if you're a man, a wounded man. Why? Because I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be set free. And you say, well, maybe I just hadn't had things that happened in my life that were that bad. Well, I'm pretty sure people have said things about you that maybe changed the way you look at yourself in the mirror. I'm pretty sure that growing up, you might not have had the ideal childhood. I'm pretty sure that there are things that you have wounds from, and maybe you just don't want to see it. There's lies that have been told to you that the enemy has tried to lie to you about that have created wounds inside of you that you need to overcome. Because when we become wounded, if you're wounded, what happens? What happens if you have a wounded arm? You don't use it, right? You become weak, right? So the more limbs that are wounded, what happens? You become weaker, right? So the more wounded you become, what happens to you? The weaker you become. So let me ask you this. Whenever you become wounded and you haven't dealt with this stuff, and then wounds after wound after wound, what happens? You become weak. So what happens is the enemy just comes, and he comes after you. And then what happens is instead of running to God, you run to the world because you want to fill that void from the past. And you think that covering it up with all these other things. You know what? You might not be drinking. You might not be smoking. You might not be going out and having all these relationships. Maybe you're going out and spending money like crazy. Maybe you're going out and being on the internet inappropriately like you shouldn't be. You know, maybe you're watching stuff on TV. You shouldn't be watching it. You know what? Let's just call it like it is. Whatever you are doing to fill that void in your life from those wounds from the past, you need to stop and you need to deal with whatever that those wounds are. Because all you are doing is covering it up. And you're becoming more wounded and you are becoming more wounded. And you know what? You're becoming weaker. And you're becoming weaker, and you're becoming weaker. And I don't know about you, but I know a man doesn't like to be weak. And see, I'm a strong woman. You might not know that about me, but I know how to submit. Okay? I know my place. But I don't like to be told that I'm weak. So if you try to control that, whew, I'm going to bust out. Hudson's got it too. He's like, uh-uh. Josh is like that too. It's like, you're not going to tell me. So for me, and see, some of y'all need to get a hold of this. You are being controlled. You're like a puppet. You're being controlled. And some of y'all need to rise up and figure out what that is. Do you like being controlled? Because you're allowing the enemy to control you. And you need to realize what's going on in your life, and you need to bust out of that and say, uh-uh. You're not controlling me anymore. Okay, so back to my notes. So, you need to recognize when you're in a hostage situation, and you need to begin to resist those desires that are wrong for you. Because you need to know the difference between a want and a need. You see, we so often want to live by our wants and not our needs. Because we live in America and everything's here when we want it. And so we need to realize what we need and want. And we need to recognize when we're being controlled by the devil. So number one, when we're in a hostage situation, he'll try to confuse you. Number two, he will try to control you. And number three, he will try to condemn you. So here's a big one. There's a big difference between condemnation and conviction. And we so often get it mixed up. God convicts our hearts. And a lot of people, for instance, sitting in this room, you may feel conviction this morning. That is God just tugging on your heart. And you're saying, man, you're talking to me this morning. You're talking to me this morning. That's God convicting you. Okay? God's just pulling on your heartstrings. He's just saying, hey, you need to change. Listen to me. You need to change to live the way you need to live the best life for you. Condemnation is this. Boom! I'm going to beat you down. You're not worthy. God doesn't love you. You've done this in your past. You've made this mistake. You're not worthy of doing anything. Why would anybody love you? Why? And secondly, why would God love you? Because you've done this. That's what Satan does. Satan brings condemnation. And that is, you're not worthy. Because Satan wants to beat you down. He wants to beat you down so hard that you feel like you cannot get up. And you feel unworthy of God's love. Because see, God loves you. And there's nothing that you can do and there's nothing that you've had in your past that keeps him from loving you. I was talking to somebody the other day. And it was somebody that was telling me that they were called to preach. And I said, well, you know, what's your hesitation? You know, why? What's the holdup? Why won't you go ahead and just do what you need to do? If you know you're called to preach, just do it. What you waiting on? And that person said this, I've done so much in my past that I don't feel like I can stand in the pulpit. And I said, you know what? that makes you even more worthy to stand in the pulpit, because your past, God doesn't consult your past to determine your future. He doesn't look at what you did. He doesn't look at your past to determine where you're going. He takes your past and He builds you up. He picks you up from where you are and He says, let me get you up. He doesn't beat you down into the ground. God says, let me pick you up. He said, you may have failed and you may have made mistakes. And you may have hurt people. And you may have been the one that cheated on your wife. And you may have been the one that made those mistakes. Or you may have been the one that did those things. But I'm here to pick you up. And I'm here to help you get your life turned around. I'm here to heal those wounds. I'm here to heal the past. See, that's what God does. But see, Satan does the other thing. He condemns you to the point to where you stay there, to where you feel so unworthy that you don't want to get up, to where you feel like the person that I talked to that said, I'm unworthy to preach because of the past that I had. See, Satan wants to shut your mouth. How many people are sitting in this room that the enemy has lied to you and told you that because of your past and because of your wounds, he has shut your mouth? He has kept you from being used because you felt like you couldn't have a voice. How many people, because of the wounds, because wounds create insecurities, how many people has the enemy done that to you? Because he's a liar. And he's here to kill, steal, and destroy. He didn't come so you could have life. He came so you could die. And that's what he's going to do to you. And that's when you need to recognize confusion. You need to recognize control. And you need to recognize whenever he's coming after you. Because he came to make you feel unworthy. He came to make you feel like this is all you deserve. And God came to say, I came to give you it all. But see, when you're in a hostage situation, you think, this is all I deserve. You think, I deserve nothing more than this right here. And God said, I came to give you the whole world. I died so you could have life. I came to give you the whole world. I came to give you a better life. And you choose to live a life held as a hostage. Yeah, you have a past. You had some bad things happen to you. Who hadn't? It's not an excuse. Man, I'm gonna tell you, I could stand up here and I could give you a list of long excuses over the last 6 years of what's happened to me in my life. And I could tell you why I couldn't do this. I could tell you why I didn't need to be standing up here. But you know what? I refuse to allow the devil to have control in my life and to shut me up. Because that's given him a place. Because when Jesus went to that cross for me, and he died just for me, he went so that I would open up my mouth. That I wouldn't sit here and I wouldn't be held in hostage as a hostage, and I wouldn't let the wounds of my past make me who I am. But instead, I would let them make me stronger. And I would rise up from that ground and I would say, out of the ashes, I'm gonna rise. You ain't keeping me down. You might knock me back, but you are not keeping me down. And I'm gonna rise up from where you've knocked me back. And even though I'm wounded, now that doesn't mean you might not walk around with a little hurt. You might need a little physical therapy. But guess what? You healed. Because when God heals you, you can stand up here and act like me. You can stand up here and say, I'm free. I'm not religious. I'm in love. I'm passionate about Jesus. And see, that's what we've done. We've put Jesus in a box, and we've let the wounds of our past keep us from our destiny. And see, I refuse to believe that Jesus went to that cross and died for me not to do his work. And for me just to sit here and not be passionately in love with him and to be held hostage from the past. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to allow it. And there are people sitting in this room that you've got to stop being held hostage from your past. You've got to stop being held hostage. You got to stop held being hostage. You know, whether it was a big event in your life from you know, somebody, a spouse committed adultery, to being molested as a child, or as a, you know, whatever it was, to a parent rejecting you, to poor choices from drug abuse, to maybe you were abusive as a parent. Stop allowing the wounds of your past to hold you hostage. Stop allowing the enemy to take control of your life. And you know, I'm going to say this too. Our church has been held hostage for far too long. I'm going to say this. We've lived in the past for far too long. For far too long. For far too long. We didn't get to where we are for no reason. A great thing was done back in a long time ago. First Student's been around for forever. And it's got a great past. We didn't get here for no reason. But see, here's the thing. As we learn from the past, we thank God for the past. And then we look forward. We don't keep looking back at what happened 20 and 30 years ago. You know, our community needs to know that First Assembly is on the move. You know, you hear people want to invite people to First Assembly, and you hear, I used to go there a long time ago. It's been held hostage for far too long. Some of you been held hostage because you stayed. And family said, why'd you stay? Because you were called to stay. And some of them were called to stay and they left. You stayed. And see, what people don't realize, me and Josh are a new thing. We're a new vision. We're not the past. We're the future. And people got to stop looking back. What happened 30 years ago ain't happening now. And we got to stop being held hostage of the past. Some people need healing from that, just within these church walls and out in the community from First Assembly. And I believe that healing's going to come. And it has already come, because we're doing a new thing. Just like in Isaiah 43 that I read this morning said, a new thing. But when you let go of it and you let God heal, that new thing comes. Stop putting a Band-Aid on those wounds. And Jesus came to set us free. You know, I don't know this morning if you know Jesus in a personal way. And if you don't, you need to know him. And he wants you to know him because he loves you so much. He came just for you. Just for you. He came for me. Came for you. But you know what? The choice is just for you. It's up to you whether or not you know him. He's not going to make you know him. It's your choice. And you choose whether or not you know Jesus. He's not going to make you do it. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You cannot save yourself. You can't deliver yourself. Only Jesus has the power to save. But the good news is that Jesus will save you. Anyone that's willing to come to him, all you have to do is put your faith in him. And this morning, I'm going to give you the opportunity to know him. Right now, you can begin the journey with Jesus. Don't live another day with the guilt of sin. Don't live another day being a hostage. Don't live another day lost. Surrender your life to Jesus and let him set you free. I'm going to lead everybody in a simple prayer this morning to help you begin the faith journey in Jesus. In fact, let's all pray this together. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and let me be the Lord of my life. Today, I make the decision to be on the winning side. I give my life to you, and with your help, I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.